consider it an honor to be here tonight. We're always thrilled to come to our churches that faithfully have prayed and supported our ministry, so we can express our gratitude for the part that you've had in what the Lord's doing in the country of Haiti. My wife's going to give her testimony.
Bonsoir, tout le monde.
Good evening, everyone.
Nous bien contents que nous capables ensemble avec nous assoya.
We are very happy to be able to be with you this evening.
Et Jean, que nous kakone, nous vient à passer 26 ans dans le pays d'Haïti.
Some of you may know we've been in Haiti now for 26 years.
Même temps, vous voulez partager une histoire ensemble avec nous.
I would like to share a testimony with you tonight.
Et longtemps passé, le noté premier arrivé dans le pays d'Haïti.
Many years ago, when we first arrived in the country of Haiti. I decided I wasn't staying.
Si nous connaissons pays d'Haïti, c'est un pays qui pauvre en pile.
Haiti is a very poor country.
Et puis pas gain en pile, pas gain rien du tout, ta wè avec Jéhou ta vle rete là.
And there's nothing that you can see physically with your eye that would cause you to want to stay.
Donc, moi-même, j'ai commencé une grosse bataille dans l'esprit moi.
And I had a great struggle in my heart.
M'te genta koné bon Dieu te bay mari mon appel pour être dans le pays.
I knew that God had called my husband to the country of Haiti.
Mais moi-même, m'pat vle lever ti moun yo dans un pays comme ça.
But I did not want to raise my children in a country like Haiti.
Et
I went through this for about 2 years. One day I had a Haitian lady that came by the house to help me out. After she finished working that day, she said, "Sit down, Madam Pastor."
Et il dit comme ça, ou même ou connaît ou gen un secret, tout le monde pas connaît.
What?
Ou me... You want me to do English,
no,
you do Creole?
Say it again.
Li dit comme ça, ou même ou connaît ou gen un secret en tant que ou, tout le monde pas connaît.
Okay, I think I know what you're saying. Just say it.
I thought he knew Creole. she said to me, "You think you have a secret that you have a secret that none of the other Haitians know about."
Okay, that's
you
right.
Want to say that?
No, that's
okay.
Right.
Eh bien, dit qui c'est que ça?
I asked her, "What secret are you talking about?"
Li dit nous même tout haïtien qui n'en contact avec nous connaissons pas vrai là.
The Haitians that are around you, we know that you don't want to be here.
Mais moi même te connais te caché très bien.
But I knew I was hiding it.
Même te supposé même mari me pas connaît li t'a passé na que moi.
And I thought my husband didn't know the struggle I was going through in my heart.
Et li même dit me comme ça et m'aptou occupé timonio pendant on entre dans chamou metage nous pour capable régler ça avec l'Éternel.
So the lady told me, she said, "I'm going to stay here and watch your children while you go in the bedroom and get on your knees and get this settled."
Et moi même dit comme ça dans tête moi, "Ah, eh bien, ça pas, il y a un problème là, c'est moi même qui missionnaire." Ah.
But I thought to myself, "This isn't right. I'm the missionary."
Et
so after thinking about it, I did go in the room. And I honestly knew that I did not want to stay there.
And
I knew God was using my husband there and the call that he'd given him.
Donc,
so I got
cabana
on my knees by the bed.
And
I said, "Lord, you know my heart. You know I don't want to stay here. I don't want to raise my children in this country."
nan mwen men, m pa kapab vle la.
And in myself, I can't want to be here.
Men m apan de ou, mette contentman nan ke mwen.
But I ask you to put the contentment in my heart.
Say up way in a time it be
after an hour and a half.
Et m'puyem di bon Dieu, c'est au même qui pour mettem à les na pays d'Haïti.
Lord, it's you that has to make me want to be here.
M'pavle pour m'tatou nou empêchement et pour nou capab aider en pile haïtien pour vin joindre Jésus.
I don't want to be a hindrance that would keep us from being able to bring many Haitians to Christ.
Et l'enfi m'pouye mande bon Dieu mette ça na ke mwen. C'est jodi a pou fè.
And I told the Lord, I said, today I need to have the contentment so that I can stay here.
Et merci bon Dieu, li fè ça pou mwen.
And I thank the Lord that he answered my prayer.
Nou geta pase 26 ans nan peyi a konye a.
Now we've been in Haiti 26 years.
Konye a m'kapab di vwèman Haiti se la kay mwen.
And now I can honestly say that Haiti is my home.
C'est là m'tapitoyé.
I would rather be there.
Passer pour m'isite.
Rather than here.
Et m'connais, ça c'est un témoignage m'tavle partager avec nous.
That's my testimony I'd like to share tonight.
Pour nous connais, n'importe ça, bon devle pour nous faire.
That you might know that whatever God wants.
Et c'est sainte volonté bon Dieu qui pi bon passer, tout côté au caillé.
It is the center of God's will. That is the best place that you can be.
Merci, Empire.
Thank you very much. As you know, and you heard, Kathy does speak English. Honestly, we've been in churches before when after she gave her testimony, no one would come to her to shake her hand. They didn't think she could speak to them. I guess they thought she was a Haitian. She gives her testimony this way, so you can hear what the people in Haiti speak. This is a language that we use in our preaching and our teaching and speaking to the people. And also she gives her testimony this way, so that if she says something I don't agree with, I can say what I want and you won't know the difference. As we see the DVD tonight, as you see the pictures, the people, the churches that have been started, the souls that have been saved. Keep one thing in mind. This is fruit that abounds to your account because you have stood by us for many, many years. You've invested in eternity. We have accounts down here on this earth, savings and checking and retirement. The Bible tells us we have an account in heaven also. And what you'll see here is just a small part of what you have sent to your account in heaven as you've prayed and supported the work in the country of Haiti. And you know, down here on this earth, no doubt, you'll never have a Haitian come up to you and thank you for sending the Fitzsimmons to the country of Haiti. But on the other side, maybe one of the times when we get up off our face from worshiping the Lamb upon the throne, you'll get up and you'll be next to a Haitian. And they'll say to you, you were a member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And you helped to send the Fitzsimmons to the country of Haiti. And it's through their ministry that I heard the gospel. And that I got saved, and that's why I'm here today. Amen. And I want to thank you for the part you've had in their ministry. And they may even want to hug your neck. That might happen many, many times after we get on the other side. So let's see the DVD now. Thank you.
Once known as the Pearl of the Antilles, and though many signs of its tropical beauty remain, Haiti is today a land of suffering, sorrow, and spiritual darkness. Located just 600 miles southeast of the U.S., Haiti occupies the western third of the island of Hispaniola. Though Haiti is only about the size of the state of Maryland, the population is nearly 8 million, making Haiti the most densely populated country in the Western Hemisphere. With an average annual income of $250 per person, Haiti is one of the poorest countries in the world. Haiti's history of dictatorships, political turmoil, and widespread corruption have produced a nation of insecurity, fear, and little hope for the future. In spite of all these difficulties, as a rule, the Haitian people are friendly and very hospitable. Suffering has become a part of their lives, and they've learned to bear their burdens with a smile. Yet in their hearts, there is emptiness, for they know not God. There is no want of religion in Haiti. Roman Catholicism and Voodooism have joined hands as a tool of Satan to blind the hearts of the Haitian people. Over the last few decades, Protestant churches have multiplied in Haiti and now claim a large following. However, their message of salvation is mixed with works and thus offers no hope for the Haitian people. In Mark 16:15, Jesus said to his disciples, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature." It is to the needy land of Haiti that the Lord has called Rodney and Kathy Fitzsimmons. My name is Steve Rich. I'm pastor of the Hazelwood Baptist Church in Clayton, Indiana, Rodney and Kathy's sending church. We've supported the Fitzsimmons since the beginning of their ministry in Haiti. I've been in Haiti twice. The first time, we took a work team from our church to put roofs on two church buildings. We were astonished at the conditions there, and truly, the gospel is the hope of the nation of Haiti. In November of 2001, it was my great privilege to go back to Haiti and preach to the first graduating class of the Bible Institute in Gonaïves. I can say with certainty, Rodney and Kathy are some of the hardest working missionaries I know. They love the Lord, they love the people of Haiti, and they've done a great work there. Our church is honored and privileged to be the sending church for Rodney and Kathy Fitzsimmons.
We have labored in the country of Haiti since 1983. First, we learned French Creole, the language of the Haitian people. Then we began our church planting ministry, which involves evangelism, discipleship, and training, commissioning, and ordaining national workers, as outlined in Acts 14, verses 21 through 23. We have had the privilege of establishing 11 churches in Dibalon, Gonaïves, Pasco, Grand Rock, Des Fontaines, Gatro, Bois d'Homme, Savien, Pont-Gaudin, Petit Place, and Vigo. We also work with the Baptist Church in Kyle, which was started by a fellow missionary who has since left the field. By God's grace, we plan to establish a new church every year as we work with men we have trained to fulfill the Great Commission. In order to train national workers for the ministry, we began the Berean Baptist Bible School, which has grown to a present enrollment of 440 students. Here, Haitians are taught the Word of God and equipped to go forth with the message of salvation by grace through faith, establishing churches by Christ's authority. There have been 6 graduations with over 140 graduates. We are honored to be able to prepare these workers for the ministry. We also realize the future of Haiti is the children, and therefore we have special weekly lessons throughout the year in local churches to reach these children with the gospel. I am grateful for the dear wife the Lord has given me and for her burden for the work in Haiti.
I thank the Lord for my salvation and for the privilege to serve Him in the country of Haiti with my husband Rodney. I did not, however, always count it a privilege. When we first arrived on the field many years ago, I struggled with the idea of actually living in such a place, let alone raising my children under such conditions. I am grateful that the Lord, through a very godly Haitian lady, helped me to come to the point of total contentment within His perfect will for my life. Often when we are stateside, folks will comment on the sacrifice I've made to live in Haiti. In actuality, the thought of not being able to be in Haiti would be a great disappointment, for Haiti is my home. The rewards of seeing those precious souls who come to know the Savior grow in grace far outweighs any sacrifice I may have made.
We praise the Lord for our faithful supporters who regularly pray for this work and give in order that precious Haitian souls may hear the good news of Christ. He gave His life. He shed His precious blood. He rose triumphantly from the grave, and He has sent His disciples to a lost and dying world with this glorious message. Haitian men, women, boys, and girls are in need of this message. To die without Christ is to be separated eternally from God in the lake of fire. We are honored to be able to live in Haiti and share this wonderful message with these needy people.
Many lonely people are searching everywhere, looking for the answer that will change their life of fear and despair. Jesus is the answer.
Turn tonight, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Beginning with verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not. But have renounced the hidden things of dark dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Verse 16. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet in the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let's pray. Our Father, tonight, how grateful we are for your giving of your Son upon the cross of Calvary, if nothing else. If we never did one other thing for us, Lord, we would praise you for all eternity, for our eternal salvation in Jesus Christ. And yet, Lord, you're so good to us. We thank you, Father, for the gospel that one day reached to us. We believed, and Lord, now you've called and used your children to do the work of reaching a lost and dying world with the gospel of Christ. Encourage our hearts tonight. Lord, the work that needs to be done here tonight, man cannot do it. So Holy Spirit, we ask of you, please, as I speak to the physical ear, speak to the heart. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Paul suffered immensely. You can read in chapter 11 of this book what he went through in order to be faithful to the call of God and take the gospel where God had sent him. And yet here in verse 4, he says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. He never gave up. He never threw in the towel. He never quit. God was merciful to him and helped him through each day, through each trial, as he went from city to city preaching the gospel of Christ. And he could say, because of God's mercy, because of God's sustaining grace, we faint not. Would to God that everyone here tonight that knows Christ as our personal Savior, that we might say likewise, God has entrusted me with the work, with the ministry. And that I too might be able to say, like Paul said, one day I have fought the fight, I have kept the faith, that we might say too, we faint not. Now, why is it that Paul never quit? That's what I want us to consider tonight. Why did Paul keep going? Why do we in the country of Haiti need to keep going? Why do you here in Jacksonville, Indiana, need to keep serving God until he calls you home or until the rapture? First of all, we find it says there in verse 3, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. First of all, because people are lost. Souls are dying without Christ. People are in need of this message. To die without Jesus Christ is to be separated from God for all eternity in the lake of fire. People are lost. If we faint, souls perish. That ought to be enough right there to keep us going, irregardless of what we have to suffer for the cause of Christ. The majority of people today that claim to be Christians are lost. One of the greatest tools that Satan has used to deceive people on this earth is religion. In fact, we've heard the verse many times where Jesus says, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Do you know there that he's not talking to the Muslims? He's not talking to the people in the prison. He's not speaking to those who worship Satan, to the voodoo and witch doctors in the country of Haiti. He is speaking there to professing Christians. Because it says there, they say, have we not done great works in thy name? People are lost. They may be religious, but without faith in Jesus Christ, there is no hope. We have heard and seen many people here, well-known, die not too long, in the last month or so. And you always hear them say, well, they've gone to a better place. I wish that were true. But based upon what they claim to have believed, it's not. People are lost. We're the salt. We're the light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. But he said before that, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. He's no longer in the world. That's why he said to his disciples, ye are the light of the world. People are lost. We're the light. Secondly, because of the preaching of the gospel. Notice there in the latter part of verse 4, it says, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. The preaching of the gospel, the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the only hope. I was teaching many years ago in a church in the city of Gonaive, in a section of the church called Husab, which means sand hole. And I was just that morning going, I guess you could say, through the Romans Road, just sharing with the people there, people in church, Christians, claiming to be Christians, what an individual has to know in order to be saved. Now, just knowing Bible truth does not save. You must call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. But in order to call upon the name of the Lord, there are some simple truths you must know. Or when you called, you were not saved. You must know, and three truths, they start with G. You must know you're guilty because of your sin. You must know that you are guilty before God because you personally are a sinner. You have sinned, and because of that, you are condemned to eternity without Christ. People have heard people say, I was sick and I prayed and God healed me, now I'm saved. Jesus did not die upon the cross of Calvary primarily to heal our bodies. He died to deliver us from our sin. An individual must know he's lost before he can ask Jesus to save him. Secondly, gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, he was hung upon the cross of Calvary. He died upon that cross. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. The gospel of Jesus Christ. I had a lady who wanted to join our church, and I was asking her about her salvation experience, and after she told me what took place, I asked her, when they prayed for you, what did you understand about Jesus and what he had done for you? What did they explain to you about that? She said, well, they just prayed for me. They never talked to me. They never told me anything about Jesus. I didn't know anything about that. I said, well, ma'am, I'm sorry. But based upon the authority of the Word of God, you're not saved. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. They must hear the gospel. They must know that Jesus took their place upon the cross of Calvary. He died for them. Thirdly, it's a gift. There's nothing you can do to receive salvation. It's a gift. There's no work that you can do. Religion says do. God says it's done. It's done. Jesus paid the price in full. And God gives it to us as a gift. And yet religion today says, well, you believed in Jesus, that's good, but that's not enough. That's another gospel. Let that man be accursed. The preaching of the gospel. They must hear. I shared these truths that morning. A young lady there, probably in her early 20s, she raised her hand. She said, I was born into a Christian home. My father's the pastor of the church. I got to the age where they told me I could go to the baptismal class, and I got baptized. I became a member of the church. I've been in church all my life. She said, but I've never personally prayed to ask Jesus to save me. If I were to die right now, this is exactly what she said to me. If I were to die right now, where would I go? I said, ma'am, based upon what you just told me and based upon the Word of God, if you were to die right now, you'd be lost. in hell for all eternity. And then she made this statement, I'll never forget it, and you could see the conviction and the turmoil on her face. She said, "But I did everything my church told me to do." I looked at her and I said, "Would you now just believe what God tells you to believe?" And she received Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. This has happened hundreds of times as we've dealt with people there, darkened by religion, blinded by false thinking that they're praying and serving God, and they're lost. They're lost. That's not just true in the country of Haiti. That's true here in the United States of America. Preaching of the gospel. Then notice in verse 5, the latter part of the verse, he says here, "We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." Ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Another reason why we can't quit is because we're not in this alone. We have people that are working. When I think of the fact that we have been in Haiti for 26 years and there are churches like this that have been praying and supporting us from the very beginning, that have invested their time and their finances to help us in the country of Haiti, I think to myself, how can I even entertain the thought of quitting? When I think of what people have done and how they're expecting us to pay the debt that they owe to the people in the country of Haiti and share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're partners together serving God. Laborers together with God. When William Carey went to the country of India many years ago, when he left England, he told the pastors of the churches there, he said, "I will descend into this deep, dark pit, but you must hold the ropes." And we're thankful for the faithful partners that we've had down through the years that have held the ropes of prayer and support that we might be in the country of Haiti. I heard an evangelist tell about how he had been in a church. And after church on Sunday morning, he went to this home with the pastor. And the pastor was telling them about this family, that an older couple that had just built this new home. They had saved all their lives. They built the home and they were so happy. Just what they had planned and how they wanted it. And they got there and they went in the house, and immediately the evangelist noticed that the floors were bare, nothing but the hard press board or board there that you nail the carpet or the tile to. And he said, "My, you have a beautiful home here. I'm sure you'll be so happy when you finally get your carpet in." Well, nothing was said, and they had their lunch. They were sitting around in the living room, and he said, "I don't know why. I made it call me in again. I said, 'My, you really have a nice place here, and I bet you just can't wait to get that carpet down.'" Well, this time the wife spoke up, and she said, "You know, we saved all our lives to build this home. And we thank the Lord for what we have here. We were ready to buy the carpet. We'd gone on a Friday, talked to the people, made the plans, had everything, each room, what we were going to put down, and had the bill, and it was $16,000. We left there and we went to the bank and we put the money from our savings account into our checking account. Everything was arranged. We were going to go back Monday morning and sign the check, and they were going to come and put the carpet in our home. We went to church Sunday night. There was a missionary family there, a rather large family. They shared their ministry, and they said, 'We're ready to go. We've raised all of our support. But to get to the field, just to get to the field, we need $16,000. The lady said, "I held the checkbook while my husband wrote out the check." She looked at the evangelist and she said, "We call these our missionary floors. And we think they're beautiful. And we know people have sacrificed that we can be in the country of Haiti and serving the Lord there. And we have these partners, and they're expecting us to be faithful. How can we quit? How can we even entertain the thought of not being faithful to what God has called us to do?" Then notice also in verse 6, There's the privilege that we have. Verse 6. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. The privilege. The privilege of laboring together with God. That Almighty God, the creator of this world, this universe, would be willing to allow you and I to be entrusted with the gospel of Jesus Christ. This great, glorious message. You and I, but earthen vessels. Just dust. And yet He's committed to us the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, a woman one time had a son that said to his mom, this was in England many years ago, "I believe God's calling me to Greenland." He left. Not too long after he'd gone, his mother received word back that her son had died. She had two more boys. The second son said, "I think God would have me go take his place to reach the people in Greenland." He left. And again, before long, she received word back that he also had died. And one day, her third son came to her and said, "Mom, I think God would have me go to Greenland and continue the ministry that my brothers have started." He left. And once again, it wasn't long before she received word that he had died also. When she received the word that her third son had died, someone was there and said, "Oh my, no doubt you regret that your sons ever went to Greenland." And she looked at the lady, she said, "My only regret is I have no more sons to send to Greenland." It's a privilege to serve God. It's an honor to be able to stand and teach the Word of God to Haitian men and women that want to know what the Bible says. To share with, like Paul said, "Unto me who am less than the least of all the saints is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Amen. To stand and share with people the good news of Christ, that's an honor that we're not worthy of. And yet God allows us to do just that. And it says in the latter part of verse 7 that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us is the praise. That God would receive the glory. And that's why He has chosen to use dust. That way when souls are saved, when a church is planted, when God's work goes forward, we remember that we're but dust and He alone is worth of the glory and the honor. I read many years ago, there's no limit to what God can do if we're careful not to touch the glory, but give it to Him alone. He alone is worthy. An old general in the Civil War was on his deathbed, unconscious. Days he laid there. One day, suddenly he opened his eyes and said, "Breen!" Closed his eyes again, and people began to wonder, what does he want? He asked us, maybe he wants his Bible. And they among themselves were trying to what do you reckon he might want? A little while later, he opened his eyes and he said, "Breen!" Closed them once again. Still they're trying to figure out what he wanted, and finally, just before he drew his last breath, he raised up in bed and raised his arms and he said, "Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all, because he's worthy that he might receive the glory and the praise." The promise. Why we faint not. The promise. God is faithful. Oh, you know, it would thrill my heart to be able to come back to the States, to our supporting churches, and say, in the many years that we've been in Haiti and that you have supported our ministry, we have always been faithful. I can't say that. I deal with the flesh. I struggle. But you know, I can say this. In 26 years, He has been faithful. He has never failed. He has always been there and seen us through. I had a missionary not too long ago. It's been quite a while. Getting ready to go to the field. And he said to be a missionary, you have to be tough. I looked at him and I said, no. To be a missionary, you don't have to be tough. I said, I'm not tough. To be a missionary, you have to be called. You have to be called. You have to know that you are where God wants you, doing what God wants you to do. Why? So that irregardless of what you may face, irregardless of what might happen, you know you're right where God wants you and that He will see you through. He will see you through. Missionary in China many years ago was the country was being taken over by the Japanese before World War II. And he was told he had to leave, but he had 100 orphans and he said, I will not leave without them. So the only way he could get out with them was by foot. And he had a long, many days trip ahead of him with these orphans. They headed out. God saw, protected them through many areas. And they arrived where they were just a little ways from safety, but they had to go through an area that was infested by the Japanese. Before they went to bed that night, he had special prayer for the situation, but in his heart, he had doubts. He had doubts. One of the orphans said, don't you remember the story of Moses by the Red Sea? How that when they did not know where to go or what to do, God opened the Red Sea and they walked across on dry ground. He said, yes, I remember that story. He said, but I'm not Moses. The orphan looked at him and said, no, but God is still God. You see, we read the Bible and we see these individuals in the Bible and they're heroes of the faith, yes, but we often think they were extraordinary people. They were not extraordinary people. In fact, they did not even have an extraordinary faith. They were ordinary people with a simple faith in an extraordinary God. And that's why they're in the Bible and heroes of the faith. The promise of God's faithfulness. He says there in verse 8, we're troubled every side, yet not distressed. If anyone ever told you living the Christian life according to the Word of God is easy, you were lied to. It's not. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. For which cause we faint not. Verse 16. Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And finally, we faint not because of the prospect of eternity. Verse 17. Our light affliction. Now, you read chapter 11. We won't take time to do it tonight. You read chapter 11 of what Paul suffered for the cause of Christ. Beaten. Stoned. Left for dead. In shipwreck. In danger. He calls it here light affliction. How can he do that? It's but for a moment. Our life's a vapor. Okay, so we suffer for the cause of Christ here on this earth. Our life's a vapor. Eternity awaits. That's what he's saying here. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. We don't allow ourselves to let the circumstances of life detract us from doing what God wants us to do. We look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. One time, a young man was asked, what are you going to do with your life? He said, I'm going to invest my life in the two things on this earth that are eternal, the Word of God and the souls of men. We look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporal. The things which are not seen are eternal. I want to read a list of some men: Shamua, Shaphat, Igal, Palti, Gadiel, Gadi, Amiel, Sether, Nabi, Geuel. If anyone thinks you know who they are, don't say anything, just raise your hand. One, All right? Now, let me finish the list. Joshua and Caleb. Oh, yeah. Huh. The first 10 men that I read, they were in the majority. Their views were popular. The crowd was on their side. We don't remember them. Their eyes were on the temporal, on that which does not last. Their lives were wasted. But Joshua and Caleb, the two we remember, were in the minority. Their views were unpopular. In fact, the crowds wanted to stone them. We remember them. Their eyes were on eternity. Their lives counted for God. Set your affection not on things on this earth, but on the things above. Invest your life tonight. You don't have to be a missionary. You don't even have to be in full-time service if that's what God wants. You better do that. But every child of God, though we work and though we provide for our family, our eyes ought to be on that which is not seen, on the eternal. Because one day, everything down here will melt with fervent heat. It'll all be gone. Only what we do for Christ is going to last. Let's pray. Father, tonight we're grateful for your love for us, for this service. You alone know each heart. Lord, do what you alone can do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Pastor.